good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. Counted a privilege, don't want to ever take it for granted. It's good to come and get together. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, this morning, Lord, we come to you, Father. I'm reminded, dear God, of the call I got from Brother Paul this morning, dear God. He's sick, Lord, and has been sick this week. And I pray, Lord, that you would just touch him, Father, heal him, God, raise him back up. And we ask, Lord, for this service, Lord God, that you would be with us, dear God, in this service. Dear God, that you would, as you have been with us in the worship, Father, your spirit and your presence, Father, I felt you even as we prayed in the back before Brother Nate came out, Lord. And Lord, I just was back there basking in your inspiration, Lord God, before the service. And now we come and we ask, God, that you take your word, Lord, as we read it, anoint it, Father, anoint it to us, Lord, anoint it to our ears and our hearts. And I pray, dear God, that you will, Father, knowing our needs, dear God, you know where each of our lives, where we're at spiritually and what we have need of spiritually, dear God. And Lord, and truly, dear God, we have a desire, God, that, Father, for you to help us to grow in Christ, to be more like Jesus, dear God. Lord, to have freer lives in you, Lord. I pray, Father, that you will, Father, just bless your people now with your word. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Turn up, if you would, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. We want to read verses 19 through 21. We're going to be continuing on with speaking on times of refreshing. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before we was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. You may be seated. You know, in our lives, our daily lives that we live, there are things we face in life. Things you have to do to be able to survive in this life, in the natural, and it actually drags you down sometimes. You get weary, you know, the longer you're here, the older you get, you know, the more weary the things get, you know. I grow weary sometimes with hearing the things of the world. You know, I grow weary sometimes with hearing all of their agendas. And their new terminology of wokeness, and what all that means, and you've got this group that's in our nation that's pushing their agenda, and then another group pushing their agenda, and it seems like you can't hardly read anything in the news without seeing these things. And the pressures, it don't stop there. It's leaked over into all the politics and government and everything else, you know, because that's how they want to get their agendas through. And actually, you feel like that some of these things of their ungodliness that they're wanting you to accept, many things that we know that the Word condemns. For instance, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah over their the degradation that was in those cities, the ungodliness, and that it, and you know, and yet those same things that God destroyed them over, they're wanting to shove this down your throat in this day, you know, to force this you to accept these things. You know, you see all these things about, you know, sex changes and everything else, and not just with, you know, adults, but with children, and them. I read recently in the news that this couple, now I can't remember where they were, but it was a mom and a dad, and they had a young daughter. She was in, I believe it was like seventh grade, and she had actually been diagnosed with some form of autism. And she was in school, and, you know, and then she was having a little trouble with her academics. And so the parents, you know, were called into school to talk and things. And then the little girl started to see a counselor in school. And, you know, through talks with this counselor and that, there was things that began to happen with this little young girl at school, and the thing was, they were keeping these things hid from the parents. And what they were doing, they had got the girl to where they were changing the pronouns that they used concerning her from feminine pronouns to masculine pronouns, and you know, and they had all these things. They were encouraging that with the little girl, and you know, and you know, and you think, you know, well, why wasn't the little girl saying something to her parents? You know, well, there could be many reasons, but if you think about it, when you were a young person in school, and that, did you go home and tell your mom and dad everything? You know, and so, you know, they were pushing this, and how the parents finally discovered it was, they were getting the counselor and whoever else was in the staff of the school, they were sending little reports of things home to them and that, and but they made a mistake, and they used the wrong pronouns for the girl in the report they were sending home to the parents, and that's what got the parents to questioning, what's going on here? And so the parents, you know, they had a talk with their daughter and that, and they found out what was going on at school and everything. And the parents said, you know, what it was, they said, look, their daughter was, first of all, she was diagnosed with some stage or form of autism, but they said she was very confused. And what they were began to offer her, I guess, a solution at school, and that they were actually just creating more confusion in her mind, and so the parents pulled her out of the school, and they're actually suing the school board over this, and they said the reason they're doing it is because they want this to come out there to where other parents would become aware. There's things like this going on in the public schools, you know, where they're actually forcing their agendas on your children. That's the kind of world we live in. That's where we're at now. And you know, you see all these things, and then you know all this, and then you've got your daily things you've got to go through. You know, the grind, as we sometimes refer to it. You know, you've got to work, you've got to make a living, you got to put up with a lot of things. You know, and you got to be around a lot of worldly people, and you got to hear a lot of worldly language, and you've got to hear, you know, worldly stories that are around you, and you try to shut the thing off from your ears and that, but it's just there, you know, and you go out and you go into a place, you know, and then they're playing some kind of music or something or whatever, you know, and it's just that this world just becomes, it's such a pressure on the believer, you know, living in this world. And you know, there's times when you, don't you get times where you feel like, man, I need some relief from this. I don't want to hear those things anymore. I, you know, and really what we it begins to get it. You know, look, Brother Branham preached a message on as an eagle stirreth her nest. And he said that he gave this example of how that the bald eagle, how it does, you know, it has a nest. And that nest, you realize they build it up in the high heights, you know. It not just in trees, but up in mountains and different places, and they build. They got to build this nest to where it's going to hold, so you know that it can stand the storms and everything else. And so they build it out of thorns and all these different things that they weave together in that. And then the eagles, you know, they take and they pluck feathers and things out of themselves and line that nest to make it softer. And Brother Brandon says, you know, then they lay their eggs in it, and then the eggs hatch, and then they've got these little eaglets in there that they've got to take care of. They can't fly. They don't really have any feathers really to speak of. And you know, they relying so much on their parents to bring them food and take care of them, feed them and all that. But then as they eat and they grow and they mature, they start to come of an age where it's time to fly. It's time to learn to fly. And so it's time to leave the nest. And so they said what the mother eagle does is she begins to take all the padding out of the nest, and she begins to take all the fluff out of the nest, so that they start to feel all the thorns and the pricks and everything else of the nest, to where they don't really want to stay there anymore. If it stayed soft, they would be, we're okay here. But then the mother makes it, and Brother Bram said, that's the way God does us. And we're in the nest of this world. And I'll tell you something, friends, the fluff's been pulled out. All the padding's been pulled out. And we're feeling the pricks and the stickers and everything, you know. And it's getting uncomfortable for the believer in this world. We're feeling all their agendas and the things they're trying to force on you, and trying to force on the churches, and trying to fight. What is it? It's the devil trying to force these things on the believer. He's, look, friends, we're at war with the gates of hell. But remember, Jesus said, we've got the revelation of the word, which the gates of hell cannot prevail against. But it's got uncomfortable in our nest. And the eagle does that so that those eaglets will be ready to leave the nest. And then Brother Branham says what she does. She comes in there and she stretches out her wings and says those eaglets, you know, they hook onto her wings, and she soars out of there with her might, with those eaglets just hanging on to her. And then what does she do? She says, it's time to fly, children. Says she begins to shake those wings, to shake them loose. And then the little eagles, they start to free fall. And what happens? There's something in them. They're eagles. They were born to fly. They were born to soar into the heights. They don't know how to do it scientifically. They can't explain it. But there's something from within them, and it just comes out, and they begin to fly. They open up those wings and feel the air under them, and they do something that, friends, that the mother eagle didn't sit there and just instruct them this and that and the other. They didn't read a bunch of scientific books. It's something that comes out of them. I'm going to tell you something, friends. We're getting ready to leave this world, and we are born to have a body change. We've been born again by the Spirit of God. I don't know how to scientifically tell you how you're going to get that body change. You don't have to know that. It's something that comes within, from within you. There's been a change that's happened in you because of the Spirit of Almighty God in you. And it's just going to happen. You were born to fly. You're you're little eagles. One day we're going to take a flight out of here. We're going to get relief from this world. But right now we're still in it. And there's times we need to be refreshed. We need our spirits refreshed. We need to be refreshed in our minds. We need to be refreshed in our spirits. We need to be refreshed in our emotions. You know, I've spoken many times about the gates of the spirit that everybody has, you know, conscience, reason, imagination, and emotions, and we have these gates, and you know, and Satan, he attacks because he can attack in that spirit realm. And he tries to block up these gates to prevent God from actually being able to speak into your life. He tries to block them up to try to prevent you from getting refreshed from the Lord. And we need refreshed in those gates. We need refreshed in our emotions. Most generally, most people, they, you know, we live in an emotional realm. And many times we react on our emotions. And most times whenever you react on your emotions, later you say, man, I wish I hadn't acted that way. I wish I hadn't have said that. I wish I hadn't have done that. And the bad thing is sometimes out of our emotions, we have reactions toward one another. And then, you know what you got to do? You got to go back and say, hey, look, you know, forgive me. I'm not making an excuse. I was going through something, but I see that I was wrong. Look, forgive me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be that way with you. And you know how we say, you know, sometimes it's not always what you say, it's how you say it. That's so very true, especially in marriage. Even with raising children and all these things, it's you know, it's not always what you're saying, it's how you're saying it. But a lot of times the way we're saying it is because we're saying it out of our emotions that have got, you know, so under so much pressure. And we need refreshed. Now, I brought the last couple of services on this when I was teaching on it, and I brought, you know, how the Brother Brandon brings the type of Aaron's rod. And when they brought it into the holies of holies, he says, you know, you get in there, that's where the refreshing is. There's where the Spirit of God is. There's where the life of God is. And he said when they took that dead, dried stick, Aaron's rod, into the holies of holies, he says, in there, this dead, dry stick, it life came back into it. It put forth leaves. It put forth blossoms. It put forth almonds. Brother Bram says, get into the presence of God. You know, friends, look, Satan, this isn't going to come as a surprise to you, I know. Satan is our enemy. And the Bible says he seeks to destroy you. He seeks to kill. And friends, look, Satan seeks to actually take your life. But Satan actually seeks to try to kill you spiritually. Beat you down. Where do you think those thoughts come from when you get around and you think, oh, and this thought comes, oh, I don't think so-and-so, the way they looked at me just now, you know, maybe they got something against me. They, you know, maybe I've done something, you know what. Friends, there's many times, you know, I'll tell you my own personal stuff. Don't overtake sometimes always the way that the look that's on my face to be directed at you. if we're out here and about and things, I might have something on my mind. You're the same way. We live under a lot of pressures. But we need to get into the presence of God to get refreshed. You know, Isaiah says, this is the rest wherein I'll cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. The Holy Spirit is our rest. You know, Brother Branham, actually, Brother Branham says this in the message of Hidden Life in Christ. He says, you have seen people that are nice people, but you just can't hardly stand to be around them. Let me just elaborate on that a little bit. You know, there are people that you're around, and you got nothing against them. And it's actually nothing they're doing to you. But what Brother Branham goes on to say, and what he's talking about, is the atmosphere that they create around them. And because he goes on and he says, there's just something about him. He says, then there are other people, they've got a creative power around them that just, it seems to be different. Look, we're creators, Brother Branham. We can create the atmosphere around us. What is one of the main ingredients of the atmosphere around us? Our attitudes. You ever get around a little child, you know, I'm talking about, you know, just a little one, maybe a 2, 3, 4 years old and that, you know, and you hear the parent, you know, and the child just being so cantankerous and that, and it's all like the parents can't, it seems like nothing they can do is pleasing that child. You know, you try to give them something to eat. They're hungry, but they don't want that, and they don't want this, and they don't want that. And you know, and then they'd almost, even though they're hungry and they want something, they'd almost just rather stay that way, it seems like, than to give in to what you've got to give them and all, you know. And their parents will say, they just got a 2 today. They're just in a mood. You ever seen your little 2 and 3 year olds, and even maybe 1.5 or 2, whatever, you know, and they just, and you say, they're just not happy. And the parents say, man, they're just in a mood today. There's nothing that it seems like I can do for them. And you know, it's frustrating as a parent. But think about it from my point of view. Because I'm not dealing with 2 and 3 year olds. I'm dealing with a flock that I got to pastor. And sometimes people just get in moods. You know, and then they react toward other people while they're in those moods, and then I end up with phone calls. Or you know, sometimes it's from the person that's actually in the mood. The person that's actually got the attitude, you know. And sometimes it's from somebody that, you know, they've offended in some way. But, you know, but you know, those things, you know, it happens and you just deal with it and you go on and that. But sometimes people show up in here on the pews in a mood. And you know what? When you or me or whoever, we show up here in a mood like that, you're not going to get anything. But look, friends, that's what Satan tries to do. He tries to get us upset before we get here many times. He tries to bring situations. Look, he does it all the time. But it seems like whenever it's church day is when he just like full on, I got to see if I can do something to upset the apple cart so that that individual gets so tore up in their emotions that they finally say, I don't even feel like going to church now. But you know, when you feel that way, when you're in your emotions, you get to feel that way, and maybe you even say that or whatever, you know where the best place for you is? Right here. Because that's just the devil trying to affect you with things. And, you know, and he uses situations. He uses people. He uses family. He uses friends. He'll use anything and everything. He'll use the dog. He'll use the refrigerator. You know, he'll use a jar of mayonnaise. He'll use whatever it takes just to get you upset to where you know, say, I don't feel like going now. So what do we do about it? The Bible tells us that, you know, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You know, let's just go and read. It's in Hebrews 2, because I know, you know, I'll tell you this. A lot of times we as ministers, we quote scriptures over and over and over and that. And sometimes in our quoting of it, we actually change the words a little bit around because we're trying to project the meaning. But and this scripture is one that we do so often, but it says here in Hebrews 10, chapter 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Now, that's a good sentence right there. Let us consider one another to provoke. In other words, to cause, have this effect on someone. Have this effect on others that you're around, to cause them to move on to love and good works. Well, if you are in a mood and you got an attitude, I'll tell you what, you're not affecting people to move them toward love and good works. So what do? Because, friends, we get in moods all the time. What do? Go to prayer. Well, what happens when, you know, you have an emergency, you know, and you're at home and you can't get a medical emergency? And you know, you need help right there, you know. And what do? You call 911, and you get them to send some EMTs out there. Send an ambulance out here. Well, I'll tell you something. There's an old song we always used to sing. It said, call him up, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. You can call him up when you get like that. When everything seems to be pressing in on you, call him up. Get in his presence and you'll get out of that mood. The Bible tells us that the angels of the Lord encamp around about them who praise the Lord. You need some angels around you? Start praising the Lord. You can praise him driving down the road. You can praise him. Friends, it don't matter where you're at in this world. It don't matter. You could be in Walmart, Kroger, or wherever. You could be on the job, wherever you at, and just start praising the Lord. You work on assembly line, you might have to keep putting parts on or whatever, but you can do that and still praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Call on him. Look, friends, listen, you know, I know that we get it in our minds that out of respect and things, you know, and to get into, to have the atmosphere right and everything, that we need to go to prayer, we need to close our eyes, and maybe we need to get down on our knees or whatever. I'm going to tell you what, friends, look, that's great. But you don't have to do that just to pray. Friends, look, you like to go out and walk, take a walk, pray while you're walking. Walk around your yard, walk through the woods, walk, you know, whatever, and just pray while you're going. Pray while you're driving down the road. Talk to the Lord. I mean, friends, look, you know what we do many times as humans? When we get some pressures and things on us, you know, we always want to call somebody, it seems like. Now, I know there's some people that just pull up into their little shell and don't want nobody to say nothing to them when they get that way. But you know what we need to do is we need to call up Jesus. We need to talk to the Lord. So, Lord, I need to be refreshed. Now look here at verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I just, you know, this one little part just now caught me that I'd never really caught me like that before. It says, Paul says, as the manner of some is. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. You mean Paul had that back in his day too? You mean there was people back in Paul's day that had some kind of beliefs and doctrines and things that told them, you know, I don't really need to assemble myself together with anybody. So it's not new. Well, you know the Bible says there's no new thing under the sun. And Brother Branham, he goes into that and he says, look, he says, God takes his man, but he doesn't take his spirit. And he went on talking about, you know, he took Elijah, but the spirit of Elijah fell on Elisha. And you know, and he likens it to the spirit of Jesus falling on the bride and that. But Brother Branham says also, he says, Satan does the same thing. He takes his man, but he doesn't take the spirit. That spirit's still here. He said Judas left the scene, but that spirit is still here. He said, look, Cain eventually died, but that spirit was still there. And Brother Branham likened that spirit to Cain and Abel of the two vines, he said, and they went right on down the two vines, down through the scriptures and down through time, he says, until the days of Jesus and Judas. And he says, and we've still got it today. You got the believer filled with the Spirit of God. And friends, look, we don't, you know, friends, look, really, do you really have, you know, I mean, yeah, we have trouble sometimes with pressures of people of the world and things, but where does it come from the worst? Sometimes it comes from the worst, from other people that are professing to be believers, professing to be, you know, they're professing that, you know, maybe they're not even professing to be a believer. They're just professing, I want to come back to church. I want to live for God. As you see the day approach, so much more as you see the day approach. Look, we're in the day now. Brother Branham says this, in the midst of making the valley full of ditches, he said, they've tried to adopt different offices in the church to take the place of offices of apostles and prophets and so forth in the church. He said, but God set gifts in the church. And he said, and we've took men, and I'm going to add things, and made them gifts instead of God's gifts. And he said, and that's what we're at today. Now, he said that back in 1956. How much more in 2024? I'm going to tell you something, friends. God has set a fivefold ministry in his body. And it's for the ministry of the body. It's to help us. It's to be a help for us. They're there to, friends, to look, God, why does God have meant with those gifts? God comes down and he inspires them and points out things from the message and the word. And Brother Abraham says, look, I give it out, you know, in great big hunks. He said, he depended on the fivefold ministry to take that stuff and break it down to the people.
Now, what does it really mean by that? Now, not like they do when they read the writings of Paul, and they say, well, you know, Paul said that the wife should be subject to the husband, but you know, that was during the time era in Paul's day, you know, women weren't real educated and blah, 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 blah. You know why they say that stuff? Because the whole thing, what that scripture and all that's pointing toward, Paul says, I'm telling you about a great mystery. I'm telling you about a great mystery. And what was he speaking about? The church and Christ. The church is to be subject unto Christ. We as the believers, we're to be subject unto Christ. But how does God administer that headship? Through the offices of gifts that he set in the church. But people don't want that. Some people. They don't want to come under headship. They don't want to come under a pastor.
Well, Brother Branham's my pastor.
Well, I'll tell you what, the next time they got a problem, get on the phone and call Brother Branham. But they don't do that. What do? They call somebody else that believes that. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Brother Branham said, God doesn't change. And he quotes out of the book of Malachi where it says, God doesn't change. God has never used a dead man, a man that he has took off the scene, to speak to people through some kind of spirit realm or something. Now look, he took Elijah off the scene. I don't want you to get me wrong with what I'm saying. He took Elijah off the scene, took Moses off the scene, you know, and we know that the spirit of Elijah, now not Elijah himself, but the spirit of Elijah was to come back four more times after that. And it's already came back, you know, four times total. There's one more time of it coming. And that's when the Bible actually talks about it coming in the book of Revelations when the two prophets come to Israel after the bride's done been raptured. So don't get me wrong. God takes men and he brings them back and he uses them. Yeah, sure. But when God took Elijah off the scene, Brother Bram says this. He says, God has never been without a witness on this earth. And he said when he would come time to take Elijah off the scene, he said he sent Elijah down there, and there he finds Elisha, and Elisha is out plowing in the field, you know, with his ox. And you know, and he goes down there, and Elijah, you know, he looks upon Elisha and that, and Elisha looks on him, and Elisha says that he wants something from him. And he says, what do you want? He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. And he said, if you want it, then see me when I'm taken up. So Elisha, what's he do? He takes and unhooks the ox and he slays it. And he offers it as a sacrifice. And he leaves the plow behind and he follows Elijah. And every so often Elijah will say, just tarry here, stay right here. And Elijah says, I'll not do it. I'm not taking my eyes off you. I am going to be there and see you when God takes you. And Brother Branham said, look, he said, God has never been without a witness. When he took Elijah, there was Elisha, and the spirit of Elijah came down on Elisha, and Elisha went out, and Elijah threw back his mantle, you know, and Elisha caught it. Elijah went back to the river, took that mantle, spoke in the water, and said, where is the God of Elijah? And the waters parted, and he walked through. When it come time for Elisha to go, God always had another man. Brother Ram says he's never been here without a witness. When he was getting ready to take one man, he'd tell him, you go anoint another man. He said God's always had a witness on this earth since time began. Adam was his first witness. Then there was Abel. Abel was murdered by his half-brother. God raised up Seth. He's never been without a witness. Friends, look, he's taken the prophet, Brother Branham, off the face of the earth. But God has not left this world without witnesses. Look, as Elijah threw back his mantle on Elisha, the prophet has thrown back his mantle on the people. And I'll tell you something, friends. Look, the word that was brought by the prophet, we preached on a lot of this on Thursday night. The opening of the word that was brought to us by the prophet, it's still here. He didn't open it for himself. He opened it for us. God did. He used Brother Branham to bring that to fulfillment of the scriptures. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery shall be finished, Revelations 10. But look, friends, look, you think about this. If we'd had no need of the fivefold ministry after Brother Branham came and God took him off the scene, then why was it that everybody, you know, so many at that time, you know, that said they believed the message? And I'm not against them. Look, there were so many around. Many of them, that there's some of them are still here with us today, like Brother Eddie Biscoe and that, you know. And we've got, you know, we've got in our own midst, Brother Jim and Sister Joyce, you know, they sat in Brother Bam's meetings. But, you know, ask some of these people, when you were sitting right there in those meetings at that point in time, how much of what was said did you really get and understand? Why? It was time for it to be open. It just wasn't time for God to actually, how does God reveal his word, Brother, or interpret his word? He says, Brother Ram says, he interprets it by bringing it to pass. It was time for Jesus to tell them that if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. But it wasn't time for them to actually grasp what he said. And he told them, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come again unto you. I'm going to send the Spirit to you. And when it comes, it'll lead and guide you into all truth. And he says, and it'll bring back to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Jesus told them, look, friends, many of them, you know, like they said, you know, the unbelievers, you know, that was standing around that day when Jesus said, destroy this temple, stand in Solomon's temple, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up again. And they said, look how many years it took them to build Solomon's temple, and you're going to raise it back up in 3 days? See, carnal mind thinking. Jesus didn't explain it. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. The disciples really didn't know what he was talking about either. They believed him, though. Just like when Jesus said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And it said that many left him after that time because they said, this is a hard saying. You know, what's wrong with this man? Eat his flesh and drink his blood? Oh, my goodness. What kind of cult are we in? And Jesus never said, hold on, wait a minute. I'm going to explain it to you. It wasn't time yet. There are many times that God says things and does things in a way to thin out the crowd. When Brother Branham was here, friends, it was time for those things to be said. But then there came a time for the understanding of what was said to come. And here's the whole thing about it. When you take the Bible, when you try to study something from the Bible, like I've said so many times, you can't take just one passage or one verse of Scripture and just make a doctrine or thought, you know, a doctrine out of that, just that one verse. And religions and people that have done that, look how they went wrong. Paul's saying we're baptized for the dead. And they took it out of context and said, all right, that means, you know, if we've got loved ones that's been lost, you know, has died, lost, now we can go get baptized for them. And that was so out of context. You read the whole chapter, you know, and you find out Paul's talking about being baptized for the dead. Jesus Christ is the one that died. And we're baptized unto him. But he didn't stay dead. In 3 days, he raised the temple up again. Look at the two that was on the road to Emmaus. And Christ rose from the dead, you know. And they were talking about, you know, Jesus, he's died. We believed he was the one. You know, and they were troubled, and in Jesus, he comes and joins up with the two of them walking, and they don't recognize him. And you know, and he's listening to the things that they're saying about this. He said, you know, he says, what are you talking about? And they says, what, have you been around here? You don't know what's going on? Look, this is what's happened. And then Jesus tells them, you know, look, slow of heart. He said, look at the Scriptures. And Jesus begins to exhort to them the Word of God. And then as he's actually preaching the Word to these two brothers, and as he's doing it, then he takes and he opens their eyes. Now, what opened their eyes? The Word. Jesus. And all of a sudden they realized, wait a minute. This is him. This is Jesus. That's what he meant by destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. He interpreted his word by bringing it to pass. At the time that we need, whatever we need as the bride, friends, God actually then, he reveals it to your heart. You see, that's the whole thing about the revelation of God. God can actually open it and it still be hidden. We'll read on Thursday night, I believe, about where Paul says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. But Paul says, you know, for us, the gospel's not hid to us. God has opened up our eyes. And friends, look, he's got gifts he puts in the church. And what do? We don't just take one quote of something Brother Branham said and one scripture or something. Look, no, it's just like the truths of God are wove through the Bible. That's the way it is with this end time message as well. It's wove through there. Brother Branham would be preaching a message titled something. You know, and in that message, he may spend two or three paragraphs saying something about one thing, and then he goes on. And he doesn't say anything more about that. But then you find another message he preached, and it's almost like he took up from where he left off on those three paragraphs and continues on with it in another message. And what is it? And you put them together, and you find the picture keeps coming more clear. I can tell you, as a pastor, one of the reasons we preach many times in series It's because the more we study on it, the more clear it becomes, and the more we bring it out to you, the more clear it becomes, and the longer maybe we spend on it, the more clear it becomes. And we live in these flesh bodies that can only take so much at one time. Oh, man. Whew. I don't know how I'm going to do this. We got to close. I would say give me a few more minutes, but I'm looking at my notes. It's going to take a few more than a few more. Let me just close this. We can come back to the rest of this. Friends, look. Look, one of the things we come to church for, we come here to get in the presence of God. We come to hear from the Word of God. We deal with all these things that we deal with in life from day to day, week to week out here in the world, friends, and we need to have set a time aside to where we can say, look, I'm just going to, for the next few moments, the next couple of hours or whatever, I'm just not going to think about those things. For the next couple hours, I ain't going to think about taxes coming due. I'm not going to think about what's going on in this member of my family or that member. I'm not going to think about, what I got to do this next coming week. I'm not going to think about tomorrow. I'm not even going to think about what's going to take place in 3 hours from now. For a couple hours, I'm just going to get within the presence of God amongst believers, and we'll come together as believers, as little creators, and this one has a created atmosphere around them, and that one has a created atmosphere around them, and we'll just get together, and friends, we'll just have it like heaven on earth for the next 2 hours. No news bombarding our minds, no worldly group with some kind of agenda trying to be forced on us, but we'll just get in the presence of God and feast on His Word and sing praises to the Lord and worship the Lord. And we get refreshed. We come in and we gather, we assemble ourselves. What? To actually, just like I said, get away from all that for a little bit. And get away from that to where we can just get in the presence of the Lord. Why does He say, don't forsake the assembling yourselves together? Because God wants us to come together. He wants you to take time and have some time set aside to where you can just get in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Look, I look back at my life growing up. And I can think of a couple of times that my family, I'm talking about when I was growing up with my mom and dad. I can think of a couple of times my mom and dad were out of church. When they first came to the message and they left the denominations, they didn't know of a place to go. And, and I want to get into a lot of details of all history and all that or whatever, but there was a time, that we would get together and, the Carper family had introduced the message to my father, Brother and Sister Carper, up there in Cleveland, Ohio. And, we as a young child, before I ever started school, I knew them and knew the family. And we would get together, and you know, we didn't know a church to go to. And so what we would do, we would just set aside a time to get together. And we believed in a fivefold ministry. We believed in preaching. But my dad, even himself, was so new and young into this message. And you know, even though he already was a preacher and all that, you know, honestly, friends, I'll tell you something. There's not much that you got to say as a preacher outside of this message, really. You can preach a good moral sermon. You can preach a good, you can give a good speech. You can give one of those build me up type things. Or as they do that prosperity preaching, you know. But what have they really got to offer? And at the time, sometimes we'd get together and we would listen to a tape and that, but we would set aside this time. But then, you know, somebody told us, hey, look, there is a church that follows this message. It's got a pastor, and they're over about, I believe, about 25, 30 miles away from where we were. And it said, and so we found out, so we went and checked it out, and we started to go there. Another time, you know, my dad had actually started a work in a place called Rockford, Ohio. And we had a church there. And we had believers that were from the area, you know. And, you know, then there were some things that happened, not within our church, but outside things. Some other group in another city, you know, that had money decided to build a church, you know, and draw people in. So some of the people wanted to go there. Many of them did. One brother, you know, he always had a dream of moving out to Colorado someday and living out there. So, you know, that came to fruition at that same time. But we had church one Sunday, and after church, everything seemed fine to us, you know. But after church, you know, they all got together at this one brother's house and had some fellowship. We weren't there. And after the fellowship was over, they elected that brother to call up my dad and say, none of us are coming back. And so overnight, church dissolved. So what we had was me, my baby brother, my mom and dad, my grandmother, and my aunt, who was 5 years younger than me, and you know, and it was us. So where are we going to go? So we had our little service in the home for a little bit. I don't remember how long. It wasn't real long. And then we went, heard about another church, and we started to go there for a while. When we left that church, we started going to another church, you know. But that was only two times in my life. But what I'm saying is we still set aside time in my life growing up as a child at home with my parents. Set aside some time. Come if you can make it, come and gather yourself. I mean, I realize sometimes, you know, sicknesses and different things, you know, can hinder us and be a thing, you know. I know maybe y'all don't know about it, but we've got people that can't make it out to the service, you know, that actually listen to us online. You know, and to do that, they got to set aside a little time to do that. I can tell you, they would benefit anytime they could come here. It would be a benefit to them. Assemble yourselves. If you can come, come. Get refreshed. Amen. Let's stand. Oh, I thought that was going to be the last part. And actually, I was I was back there adding things to it this morning. And the things I was back there adding to it, we never even got to.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You know, I'll tell you something, friends. Look, as a minister of God, someone who God called to preach his gospel, I can tell you, you know, we get up here and we, you know, God inspires us before we get here. He inspires us with something, you know, from the scripture or something that was said. Sometimes it's from something somebody says that makes us go look in the scriptures and things, you know, and that. And we get inspired, and then, you know, you look up the scripture, and then you look up things in the message, and you look up this, and you look up that, and you begin to study, and things begin to build in that, you know, and then you get some notes together, and then you come out, and sometimes you don't always feel like that. You're like, man, I don't know if I... And you go back over your notes, and you're trying to organize them and things, you know, and sometimes you get up here in the pulpit, Brother Phil, and you think when you left back there, you had them organized, and when you step up here, you're like, wait a minute. And then you get up here, friends, and you got this inspired to you, and you get under the anointing of God, and after you get under the anointing of God, then things you don't have wrote down, things that are not in your mind, things you haven't preconceived or thought, just begins to come out. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm trying to tell you something mystic. It is the Lord, and it's the Spirit of God. But you know what he does? He begins to bring things to me, and it's things that I have studied over before, things that I've read over before, things that I've heard Brother Branham say before, teachings that have been laid in that as I sat under a pastor before I ever came here. And begins to draw from all those things and pull all these things together. And it pulls this and it pulls that and it pulls this and it puts it all together, you know. And that's how sometimes these things expand for us. And we say things that we didn't know we were going to say when we got up here. It's the Spirit of the Lord. But you know why it is? It's because that you've got needs in your life. So, you know, let me leave you with this. When you're getting ready to come here, you know, look, get yourself ready. Get yourself ready. Come expecting. Get ready to hear from the Lord. Get ready to be refreshed. Hallelujah. You say, how do you do that? As John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Get in the Spirit. Come to church in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. Dear God, and Lord, I realize we're humans, and in our flesh sometimes, Lord, we do all we can, Lord, to overcome all the things of the flesh sometimes and the difficulties and distances and things just to make it out and get here, dear God. And Lord, when we get here, then, Lord, we actually just want to get in your presence so we can get in your Spirit. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this word today. I thank you for the way you brought it. Lord, it done so much for me, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, you'll take it and may it just be a blessing to the people, Lord, as they go about their life this week, dear God. Bless your people today, dear God. Watch over them. Bring us back here safe. Heal Brother Paul, dear God. Lord, provide the needs of the people, Lord. Help Brother Todd, Lord. Find him a job, Lord. Lord, you know all the needs of everyone here, God, to supply those needs. Lord, we live in an age where it's a needy age, Lord, but the people think they have need of nothing, the Bible said. But we know we have need. We have need of you, Lord. We give you praise in Jesus Christ's name.